it's time to jump into our the upon further review aspect where we dive into the keys to victory. And these are the keys to victory that I had that I had came up with, that I felt like studying the opponent, studying Notre Dame, seeing what needed to be done, seeing how, you know, look, this is where who Notre Dame is, this is what this team is, and this is what Notre Dame needs to do to have success against this opposing football team. And we had five for the offense in this game, and we're going to talk about, you know, what we saw from this football team and how do they execute in those areas, and then we'll do defense next. But let's begin with the offense, and you guys can see this article. It can be found if you go to irishbreakdown.com. That's where all of our content is. By the way, if you signed up for Irish Breakdown through Sports Illustrated, we are no longer with Sports Illustrated, so your membership to the board won't be renewed. And if you were only signing up for SI to get our stuff, then you don't need to do that anymore, just to give people heads up on that. But key number one is the same key that it always is. It's start fast. And, you know, this was an interesting one because I actually feel like I'm giving it I've been back and forth on this all day. I'm curious to get some of your thoughts. But when I look at what Notre Dame did in this game and I look at the fast start, I give it a check. And here's why I give it a check, because it was not a perfect start to the game. I mean, your first drive of the game, you've got the ball at the 49-yard line going in. Your quarterback runs it down to the 30. It's going to be first down. You're knocking on the door of the red zone, but a holding penalty calls you back and you end up punting. And then Stanford goes down and scores. But Notre Dame, I thought, answered pretty well to that. They went on a 12-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to tie the game. Defense makes that big fourth down stop near midfield. Offense capitalizes with a 7-play, 52-yard drive. And then they fumble on their next possession. So you're like, okay, well, why are you giving them a check? They had a fumble. Yeah, it was bad. But then Notre Dame's very next possession, which was the final possession of the first half, the defense makes a stop. They get the ball. They go 9 plays, 56 yards, and punch it into the end zone and converted a fourth down along the way. And so when I look at it, it's not a great fast start, but I do think that I'm giving them a check for the fast start because, look, you scored on two of your first three possessions. Notre Dame scored on two of their first three possessions against Purdue when we gave them a check, right? You didn't score on your first three like you did Louisville, but the difference between Louisville in this game is you kept building on it. And so I am going to give them a check. It's if you said, okay, is it closer to check plus or check minus? I say probably check minus, because against better teams, you can't have those drive killing penalties. You know, against better teams, you can't have those fumbles. You know, you can't have those type of mistakes. You've got to be able to be more effective getting in there, but I'm giving them a check for that, because I do think when you score on two of your first three possessions, when you answer your defense making a fourth down stop with a touchdown, when your defense gives up a touchdown and you counter with a touchdown, you know, you get a chance to put that team away in the first half. I mean, if we go into halftime and it's 14-7 compared to 21-7 because Notre Dame doesn't convert that fourth down late in the second quarter, I mean, what are we talking about? This is a whole different deal. I mean, if you look at that final drive, Notre Dame starts with the ball with 3:48 left at their own 44-yard line. They get all the way down to the Stanford 15 before they get to a third down. Riley Leonard completes a pass to Jaden Thomas, gets 8 yards, get into a fourth and one. Notre Dame goes for it. So instead of trying to go up 17-7 and make it a two-possession game, Marcus Freeman was aggressive, and I liked the call. He went for it on fourth down. You didn't actually block it really well. Jeremiah Love just put his shoulder down and just smacked the guy and got moved the chains. And then, of course, the next play, Riley Leonard throws a touchdown pass to Chris Mitchell. So I'm giving him a check. I feel like when it comes to starting fast, it wasn't perfect, but it was definitely a good start that allowed Notre Dame to pull away. And then you make one stop in the second half and punch that turnover in, and all of a sudden the ball game is over. And a lot of that had to do with how the Notre Dame offense started. And I also think, too, Notre Dame's defense was on its heels a little bit early in that game with some of the stuff that Stanford was doing, and I'll talk a little bit about it later. And after Stanford scored, not only did Notre Dame counter with a score of their own, but they went 12 plays and 75 yards. It took over 5 minutes off the clock. That's a lot of time for Al Golden and that defensive staff to sit down and say, okay, what are we seeing? To look at the film, to to talk to the defenders, to kind of go through the different aspects of what was going on and make some corrections. And so I felt like that was a really important drive. And then, of course, Notre Dame makes the fourth down stop, and then they went on a 7-play, 52-yard drive that took over 3 minutes off the clock. So after that first down drive, Notre Dame had one stop, and then over almost 9 minutes of game time where they didn't have to be on the field but for one drive. And I felt that was important too. Not only did you just get scores, but you got a couple methodical, at least one methodical score that gave your defense a chance to sort of regroup and really help your football team. So I was very pleased with that. So I'm going to give them a check in that regard.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Number 2, protect the quarterback. Again, this is a check. It was not a great start to the game. You know, obviously Anthony Knapp has the early hold on that same drive. He gives up another pressure. On the very next drive, he gives up another pressure that forces Riley Leonard to scramble. I did feel like he and the rest of the offensive line, for the most part, settled in a little bit after that. When you look at the game and you look at Pro Football Focus numbers, they have the offensive line as only having given up 5 pressures the whole game. Now, that's still not great because the reality is that they didn't throw the ball down the field a ton, and they did use some max protection type situations. But you had 2 pressures allowed by your center, and you had 2 pressures allowed by your left tackle, the 2 places you just don't want that to have happen. And then you had a pressure that was allowed by your second-team offensive line, gave up a pressure as well. So you only had 4 with the first-team offensive line. You know, when I look at it, obviously it's got to get better. There's still plenty of room to get better, and you have to look at it in context, which is this is a Stanford team that's not good at rushing the quarterback. And so the question that I don't know that we have the answer to is, was this true growth, or is this a situation where they just kind of dominated a team that's not good at rushing the quarterback? Well, it's a little bit of both, to be completely honest with you, but the grade is relative to what they did against Stanford. And what they did against Stanford, in my opinion, was good enough to give Riley Leonard the early time to get comfortable, get into rhythm, and do a lot of damage to Stanford. So I give him a check, but it's a very lightly written check. I still have some questions and concerns about the couple positions, but here's the reason why ultimately I kind of swung towards check, not just the overall numbers, but I did see some growth from this line when it comes to handling the line games. You saw in this game a technical adjustment in this game. And let me kind of walk you guys through this. So in the recent games, and we talked about this, got to get fixed. In recent games, when Skies would in pass row would slant across the face of the guards, Rocco Spindler, use him as an example, because the play I'm thinking of in my head is one from Louisville and then one from yesterday. And what would happen is Rocco would – guy would cross his face, and then Rocco would turn, and Pat Coogan would turn, and they would go with that slant. And then the looper would come around, and they would have their hips turned. And I've said, you guys have heard me say this a million times, once an offensive lineman gets his hips turned, he's in trouble. Yesterday, what we saw was when a guy would cross Rocco's face, he would step to it and give a punch, but he'd keep his shoulders square and his eyes open, because he knew, okay, I'm passing this guy off to my tackle, or if my tackle can't take him and nobody comes, I then turn and ride him. And we saw Pat Coogan do that a couple times, where he would kind of stick that wrong arm, protect that gap to your right, which is the direction the protection was going, get your eyes upfield, and then they'd bring those loopers around, and they were doing a much better job of stepping to those loopers. We saw them with they were doing the long stunts on the right side. They do the quick stunts on the left side. And we saw that with Sam Pendleton as well, where they did a much better job of keeping their shoulders square and communicating and coming off those blocks. So even though they played a quote-unquote bad pass rushing team, which they are, they did do a very good job, in my opinion, of improving the technical aspects of what Notre Dame was struggling with in the past. So that's a big positive to come out of the game. There's still some one-on-one blocks, like Pat Coogan got beat a couple times. One time he allowed a pressure in Riley's face. Riley still got the throw off, actually. I believe one of them was on the post throw to Bo Collins. You know, but Pat got it, let a guy kind of get up in him and rock him back, and he got off late to the quarterback. It wasn't terrible, but you just got to clean up a couple of those things, and you'll be okay. So I did feel like they made progress in that regard, and that was an example, and that's ultimately – what caused me to say, let's give him a check for this performance.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
My third key in this game was find some pass game answers. And there were things that needed to be done from a quarterback read standpoint, a protection standpoint, you know, getting different weapons involved standpoint. And I'm giving them a plus in this one. And this is relative to Stanford. There are still a lot of things to clean up, but it's relative to Stanford and then some of the improvements that I saw this team make in the game. And so when I look at some of the different aspects of it, so I've got my play-by-play breakdown. And the first thing you'll notice when you're breaking the game down is Notre Dame had did a lot in the RPO game against Stanford, which was huge. And that's something that we have honestly just not seen a lot from Notre Dame. We haven't seen a ton of RPO. The stuff we've seen has been like real quick perimeter stuff. We haven't seen a group that's like that's really dynamic in the RPO game. And it hasn't been incredibly effective in this game. Well, you're playing a Stanford run defense that likes to crash downhill. And so the first finding a pass game answer in this game was going to the RPOs. And it started early. It started early for Notre Dame in this game. And so when you look at the first couple drives of the game, Notre Dame ran a play action on the first drive. But the second drive, they threw two RPOs. One completed for 12 yards. The other one was incomplete. Just a missed ball in the end zone. Then the next drive, they run a play action and another RPO for a touchdown. The next drive, they run an RPO on the first play of the game, or first play of the drive, goes for 16 yards, guy fumbles. Next drive, they have an RPO that goes for 11. The drive ends with an RPO for a touchdown. So you saw a lot more of that RPO action and some screen game stuff that looked like it was built off the RPO action. And so that was part of it as well. But here's the other thing that is important. It's not just having RPO success. And in this game, Notre Dame went 6 of 7 on RPOs. So they completed 6, attempted 7 for 64 yards. So those are designed run plays where you're calling a run, and instead of it being a run, you pull it and you throw it. So that's very efficient, very effective stuff. Okay. The other part of this success, when you're looking at it, is it's not just about the success of the plays and you hit a couple of the same routes and you threw a route that they hadn't expected before. But it was also some variety. And these are the routes that Notre Dame hit on RPOs. They hit three glance routes. They hit three glance routes through another that ended up actually getting caught by an offensive lineman. That was just a bad decision by Riley Leonard, to be honest with you, on that particular play. They threw a quick out cut to Chris Mitchell on an RPO, was incomplete, but they threw it. The RPO to Bo Collins was a hitch where Riley catches it and throws it outside for a 16-yard gain. And then they also threw a Y under route for a touchdown to the third quarter to Eli Raridan, which was also an RPO action. And then when you're effective with your run game and your RPO, you then say, okay, well, what are some other answers? Well, one thing we talked about in our breakdown of the game was Notre Dame has to do a better job of getting the ball to the perimeter. And then there's some things we'll talk about the run game wise, but there was also ways you got to get the ball out to the perimeter in the pass game. And of course, early on, they had a couple quick throws outside to Bo Collins, which we'll talk about. But you come out in the second series and you line up in a attached tight end alignment. Your tight end goes out in a quick boom motion. And you throw a little now screen that wasn't necessarily incredibly well blocked or well designed, but you got the ball to Chris Mitchell in space. He makes a guy miss early, and next thing you know, he picks up 11 yards on the play. And it was on a second down and 12. So your first play of the drive does not start well. You're minus two-yard loss, second and 12. And it's like, oh, here we go. And then you throw that little now screen. It's not perfectly designed. It was good timing, good ball. But it wasn't like, oh, man, great call, great job. You had them perfectly schemed up, easy 11 yards. No, he had to make somebody miss. But this is the whole point. We talk about all the time. Get your playmakers the ball in space and then let them go do something with it. And Chris Mitchell did that. Next thing you know, instead of it being third and long because you went and got 4 or 5 yards, it's now third and one, and Notre Dame is able to convert it. And then that leads on to a touchdown drive. So that was another answer that I felt like Notre Dame found in the run game or in the passing game where they had more success. They had a play later in the game where they line up in basically a doubles formation. So 2x2 formation, nobody attached. They motion Jeremiah Love out to the right and throw him a little now screen. And that goes for 25 yards. Quick hitters behind the line of scrimmage, get the ball in the hands of your playmakers and let them go do something with it. And Jeremiah Love did that. So that was another answer that they found in the throwing game against Stanford. There's a couple other things that we saw against Stanford that I thought were positives. I talked about the curl flat concept that we saw, from a schematic standpoint. We saw them run a play for a big gain where they kind of set up a big play to Bo Collins, and it went for a 53-yard gain. But, you know, what I liked about it is Notre Dame had ran that play out of 21 personnel. And up to that point in the game, when Notre Dame had gone 21 personnel or even 12 personnel, they were a heavy run team. They had lined up and they had, you know, said, hey, look, we're going to come out and we're going to run the ball out of this look. They were running this pin and pull concept. And out of the Twins looks, they were very much a heavy run look. So as I'm looking over early in the game, they ran Twins and ran a slot fade out of it, right? So they line up, you're getting one-on-ones, you take a shot downfield, ball just comes out a little bit late, had an extra gather step by Riley Leonard. Next time you run it, you're in a run situation, then you have a little quick sprint out throw on short yardage, then you run the ball again, and then you come out to it next time, and you know the look you're going to get. And so they come out, and it was as late, this is in the third quarter, and they're in a 21 personnel, Twins alignment, two backs in the backfield. They don't motion anybody out. They've got tight end on one side, two backs in the backfield, and they run play action. And Stanford bites on it hard. They run a stop route outside and then a post route from the slot. And you do a play action performance, you drop back, and you throw a bomb down the field. I actually thought that I felt like watching it live that Riley was late with the throw. When you go back and watch it on all 22, he actually was not late with the throw. I just don't think he wanted to miss. I think Sean nailed this yesterday. I just think he kind of threw it shorter because he was wide open and didn't want him to miss, didn't want to overthrow him, but he didn't get it out late. He got out of his play action, got to the top, gathered, and threw the football. He was accurate with it, and he hit the big play. So it was good to see that. That was just a different wrinkle we hadn't seen. This is something Notre Dame did against Stanford 2 years ago. It was very similar to the play that they scored a touchdown on with Tobias Merriweather back in 2022. Different defense, different team, but a very similar look. And so I like that. We saw some crossers on Saturday. I mentioned the play on third down where Riley had to scramble and picks up the first down with his legs. You've got a seam by number two, a deep end by number one with a crosser and an outcut by number two. Love that concept. We saw them run the play that they did against Louisville for a big gain, where they have a 3-by-1 formation with a tight end attached. They run a stop route outside and then two seams by two and three and then a backside outcut. It was there. Riley just threw it too far up the seam. He needs to get it out a little bit over the middle. So there were some even more opportunities there. But what I liked was, even though it wasn't perfect, there were some misses. You know, Riley late on one throw, misses another. You had a couple receiver routes. Bo Collins drops a ball that I think got tipped, going back and looking at it on a glance route. You know, there's some things like that. But you felt like they made some schematic adjustments in the game. They ran some play action. They, you know, which gives you the reason, the nice thing about play action, the way that Notre Dame ran it, like the play to Bo Collins, it was a two-man route. So they were max pro. So, hey, look, we want to take a shot. We think we can get them to bite down, and so we're going to get seven guys in pass pro, right? Actually, eight guys in pass pro. Eight guys in pass pro. So the five linemen plus the tight end plus both backs, and then boom, eight-man pass pro. Now you got your time to throw the ball down the field. So those were different things that I felt like Notre Dame did find some answers in this game. Quick game, RPOs, getting the ball down the field, being aggressive, you know, trying to get some stuff over the middle of the field. I was impressed by that. We talked a lot about in the past also how Notre Dame's pass game is almost exclusively outside. They do very, very little over the middle of the field. Well, they threw two touchdown passes over the middle of the field. They threw a 53-yard post route over the middle of the field. They had another ball dropped over the middle of the field. They had a big conversion, I believe it was a third down conversion, over the middle of the field. You had Chris Mitchell catching a ball over the middle of the field. So they were much more willing to throw the ball over the middle of the field in this game, which I thought was encouraging. It's just another way that you have to say, hey, look, teams just can't come flying downhill to stop our running game the way that they have. And so all those things were there. I'm giving them a check plus in that one. Not a total plus because you need to hit a couple of those throws. but a check plus in this game. I was very pleased with the changes that we saw Notre Dame make. And Riley Leonard was on pace for 300 yards in the game. You know, and if Micah Gilbert doesn't drop a pass in the end zone, they're getting a lot closer to 300 yards, period, on the throw from Steve Angeli. So the pass game really was good. Now, you're playing against a very bad pass defense. Let's be honest about that. But we saw some – so that's where I say it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, the pass game has arrived. National championship, here we come. It wasn't that. It wasn't that. It was more about they made a big step. It wasn't just another – like against Purdue, they made some baby steps. Against Miami, they made some bigger baby steps, made some toddler steps. How about that? And then against Louisville, they definitely, I thought, made some strides early, but this was the first time I thought they made a big leap in the pass game. It's not completely there yet, but this was a very encouraging sign, and that's why I give the offense a check plus for that. Next key, move the chains effectively. I thought this was very important in this game. I thought Notre Dame did a really good job of this. Just very effective. I mean, first drive of the game, you get that possession going, end up getting stalled by a holding penalty. You know, but Notre Dame gets into third and two, and they go out and complete a pass and move the chains with the run game. Then you get your next third down, you don't get, and you have to punt. Next drive, you get into a third and one. Jadarian Price runs it for a first down. You get into a third and two. This time they threw the ball over to Jaden Greathouse over the middle. Great read by Riley Leonard. Really good route concept that Notre Dame ran. They ran a stop route by number one, little middle option by number two. They had a Y motion where he started in 3-by-1, motions over to 2-by-2, runs a slide with the burst corner. Riley looks to the burst corner side, sees it, comes back to Jaden Greathouse in the middle. He gets some 19-yard gain. And you move the chains there, and that sets up your next touchdown, your touchdown drive on that there. Your next touchdown drive, you get the ball on third and seven, and Riley scrambles for a first down. And the thing I liked about that play, that's the play I was talking about where they ran a concept where if Riley gets time to throw, he's either going to have a crossing route or a deep dig cut coming open, deep end cut coming open. That third down's getting converted, whether it's his scramble or him throwing the ball, as long as it would have been an accurate pass because the scheme was open. But then Riley goes out and makes the play, and then they don't get another third down the rest of that drive. They don't face another third down until late in the first half. They get into a third and nine situation, and Riley hits Jaden Thomas on a quick out cut. And Jaden catches it, makes a guy miss, gets 9 yards. It gets into a fourth down and one. They convert that fourth down and one and then get the ball into the end zone. So I thought that Notre Dame was very good in this game when it comes to moving the chains effectively. I thought it was a game where they had some big plays, but they didn't feast on big plays like we've seen in a lot of games. You know, you had 24 first downs in the game, which ties for your second most of the season with Miami of Ohio and behind only Purdue. They only had 11 against Louisville. You had 9 first downs thrown. You had 14 first downs rushing and then one by penalty. Against Miami of Ohio, they had 24 first downs. 5 of those came by penalty. So it was a very balanced attack. And then, of course, when Notre Dame got in the red zone, they were able to get touchdowns and not field goals. So all of that plays into Notre Dame getting a plus, in my opinion, for this game when it comes to moving the ball effectively. And then the final piece is mix up the run game looks. And I'm giving them a check plus on this one as well. There's a couple things I'd still like to see from them run game-wise, but we definitely saw some variety. You guys remember last week, where 2 weeks ago when we were breaking down the game against Louisville, and it was literally inside zone, quarterback counter, inside zone, quarterback counter, inside zone, quarterback counter. That's it. Everything was downhill, downhill, downhill. And I felt like in this game, they did some things to really mix this up. And one of them, I mean, obviously you have the RPOs part of it, right? That's mixing up the run game looks. You see this hard run action, you're flying downhill. Well, one way to mix that up is to throw the RPO game off of it. And Notre Dame did that. That's step number one. I think the little quick now screens outside is something that takes some of the pressure off of the run game. But they also had some different wrinkles, and they did some different things to go at them in this game. So they ran a lot of inside zone, which they're always going to do. And I thought Notre Dame had a lot of success thrown on the inside zone concept. So see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 inside zone runs, and they went for 73 yards in the game. That includes a, is that correct? Hold on a second. Is that right? Yeah. So you had 13 carries for 73 yards. You also had two touchdown runs on inside zone. What I liked about that was one of them bounced out front side. The other one bounced up backside. It was a cutback. So you went 5.6 yards per attempt. They ran counters. They ran a six-yard quarterback counter for a touchdown with Riley Leonard. And they ran another counter in the game where Stanford really jumped it and was a minus two. They didn't run a lot of counter after that. Or I don't know if it was because of that, but they didn't run a lot of count as much counter in this game because of how Stanford defended it. And they crash off the backside a lot. They ran two outside zone plays that went for 17 yards, were both efficient runs. And then they, what they also did in this game too, is they put in like a little pin and pull wrinkle. And it wasn't an incredibly effective play, but I really felt like it messed with Stanford's eye discipline where, you know, they were seeing this run, and then Notre Dame's outside zone and some of their inside zone runs ended up being really good off of this because of the way that Stanford was kind of seeing it. So what they were doing was essentially is they were running a pin and pull concept where they were bringing a front side lineman would wrap and kick or would pull and kick. And then the backside tackle would wrap around. And they did this out of a pistol. Let me go look real quick. I believe this play was done out of pistol. Let me just give me a second. I'm going to go look here real quick at this particular play. Cause I deleted the, formations initially from this. So let me just get here. Give me one second, everybody. Let me get this breakdown. So let me go here. So let me look at this. So let's go. So they ran this out of pistol, 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 pistol. So they ran this out of pistol. So it's another example of them giving the defense a little bit of a different wrinkle. And just something that you ran split backfield, you had pistol looks. And what the pistol look did is it allowed the running back to get downhill, but it allowed it to time up. It took a little bit longer to develop. And so they were pinning and pulling. And there were some good, there were some good chunk runs out of this, to be honest with you, that I was happy to see in this game. And so that was obviously a good part of what they did. Like I said, four runs for 21 yards. That's not like a incredibly, oh my gosh, they did so good there. But it was a very efficient run. You had four carries on it, 21 yards. Three of your runs were efficient. And that's a good number. That's a very good number for that particular play. So I was happy to see that type of stuff. I really was. I thought that they did a pretty good job of mixing up those different wrinkles, mixing up those different looks, and giving Stanford something to think about. I still would like to see a little bit more. Just get to the perimeter, just a little bit more of a willingness to attack the perimeter with the run game quickly. That's just not something this staff does a whole lot of. You know, we saw Stanford try to do that with some different wrinkles. I'm not talking about the speed option stuff, just a little quick pitches, little quick hitters, some things like that where you're getting outside. But look, the way that they were running that pin and pull concept, it was a run with the potential of bouncing. They ran two outside zone plays, which went for really good yards, 17 yards, two of them. So they did force Stanford with the now screens, with the with that came with motions, with the RPOs, with that pin and pull concept, with the way that they were lining up and giving them different backfield actions. They ran outside zone. I do felt like they had some really good mix-ups in the run game, and they were mix-ups that put Stanford in some tough binds. So overall, I really was pleased with what I saw from the Notre Dame offense when it comes to their keys to victory. I felt like they had a very good game plan. I thought Mike Denbrock did a really nice job of breaking down the film, getting comfortable with where his team was. You know, what are some things that need to be added to what we're doing offensively, looking at it from his standpoint? What are some things that we need to add to it? You know, what are some things that we're good at that we need to maybe emphasize a little bit more? What are some things we're not doing a good enough job at that we can need to add it? I'll be willing to bet you a decent amount of money that Notre Dame spent a lot of time working on RPOs during the bye week, because they went from not running it a lot to running it a lot with a lot of variety. And Riley Leonard was throwing it with confidence. He did have the one big mistake. And again, You can't have those. He predetermined that a little bit and said, hey, I'm going to throw this RPO. And I thought he should have gone to the other side or handed the ball off. So that's just part of that evolution of getting cleaner and getting better and saying, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. You're not going to be able to kind of get to it. And so some of that stuff is our ways to, if they're going to crash inside, we're going to pull it and get the ball outside. And they had a lot of success with that. So overall, I give the offense a check. I mean, I think did I give them a minus in anything? I don't think I gave them a minus in anything, did I? But overall, very, very strong performance by Notre Dame offense. Certainly took a jump and executed their keys to victory at a very high level. And that was a big reason why you saw a team get 49 points. You saw a team go for 476 yards of offense. You saw a team go for over 7 yards of play and 7.2 yards per play. This was one of their best passing performances of the season statistically, not just on top of obviously of yards, which I believe was their second best performance. Their best performance in yards by 32. It was their best performance from yards per attempt by almost a full point. It was the most touchdown passes they had in the game with 3. The previous high rating in quarterback rating was 164.4 against Purdue. They were at 162.14 against Louisville. They went 180.49 in this game. So that's obviously a positive as well. And it was the highest yards per catch rate they had this season. The highest before this was Purdue at 12. Other than that, they did not have a single game where they were over 10 yards per play on the receptions. They went 13.4 against Stanford. So good performance, can certainly room to get better, but it was a really, really important step for Notre Dame to make and to get their offense rolling a little bit. And hopefully it can be built on as they move forward.